Be with you this morning. Ogmandino tells the story of a man that traveled to Persia, and he heard this story, a true story, from one of his guides. It was the story of a Persian farmer who was fairly wealthy. He had a lovely farm. He had all that he needed to eat. He had all of the money that he needed to buy whatever he needed. And he was quite content until one day a traveler came through and said, "What you really need is diamonds. If you had diamonds, you would be far more wealthy than you are. Instead of just having one farm, you could have many farms if you possessed diamonds." He was so upset by what he heard that his contentment was taken away from him, and he longed for riches and diamonds. And so he sold his farm and he began to travel the world in search of diamonds. He ended up a broken, ragged pauper who had ruined his health and spent all of his money looking for diamonds all over the world and had found none. Meanwhile, back in Persia, the farmer who had bought this pauper's farm was down by the river that ran through his property one day, and he was looking down at the rocks and he saw something that glinted in the sun. He picked it up and discovered that it was a diamond. And there in that farm, the largest diamond mine in Persia was discovered. There were literally acres of diamonds on the very land that a farmer had sold that he might go out and search for diamonds. And Jesus said, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on the earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves cannot break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." This lesson this morning has a couple of aims. I want to try to accomplish a couple of things. First of all, I want to convince you that right where you are, who you are, where you live, what you're doing in life, you can find the greatest treasure in all the world. You don't have to look someplace else. It's right there with you. And the second thing I want you to understand is that there are many people who have discovered that great truth in their lives, and their testimony, their life, verifies the truth that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's kind of interesting that the word treasure there in that passage comes from the Greek word thesaurus. We get our word thesaurus from that. And those of you that are English majors or have done some writing will understand that a thesaurus is a book of words, a treasury of words, synonyms that you can use to spice up any paper that you're writing with words that are graphic, that describe. This treasury of words is indeed a treasure, but the treasure that is far greater than any treasure in books or any treasure in banks or any treasure in diamond or gold mines is the treasure of our relationship with our God. Jesus went on to tell this story later on in Matthew chapter 13. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found. And from joy, he went and sold all that he had and he bought that field. You see, unlike this Persian farmer, this particular searcher was looking for the greatest treasure of all, and he found it. He discovered it in a field, and he sold everything he had to buy that field because he knew that there was a treasure there. I can tell you someone like that, someone who gave up everything in order to find the greatest treasure of all, and it changed his life and it changed his heart. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. The thing that you value most in life is the thing that you put your whole heart and your whole life into. Wissam Youssef grew up in Baghdad, Iraq. He was born the same year that Saddam Hussein came to power. He grew up under the tyranny of an evil dictator. He grew up as a Sunni Muslim. He grew up going to the mosque and doing all that Muslims do. As he became a teenager in his later teenage years, 19 or 20 years old, he began to search for truth. He began to look for a treasure that he didn't find in Islam or in the Quran. He began to look for truth in the Bible. You see, he had read books that had quotes from the Bible. And he was curious about those quotations. And he began to look for a Bible of his own so that he could begin to read. In a marketplace in Baghdad, he found what he thought was a Bible. It was actually just the Gospel of John. And he read through that Gospel of John, and he was disappointed because he didn't find many of the quotes that he had read that were attributed to the Bible. But what he did find was an amazing person named Jesus. And he fell in love with Jesus, but he was still disappointed that apparently his Muslim friends were right when they said the Bible is a book in error, because he couldn't find those quotes in what he thought was the Bible. Later on, he found the entire New Testament and he read it with joy and he found those quotations. And he eventually got an Old Testament and he read that. When his father, an avid Muslim, discovered that he was reading the Bible, he called for the Muslim leaders of their mosque. They came and warned Wissam, if you continue to read the Bible, you will be punished. Wissam, having learned English, got an English copy of the Bible so that he could read it and the Muslims around him wouldn't know that he was reading the Bible. He continued to read and study. Eventually, as he read the book of Acts, he discovered that he needed to be baptized for the remission of his sins. He searched for 12 years for someone to baptize him. Everyone was afraid. The churches in Iraq wouldn't baptize him because they knew that it was a death penalty to baptize a Muslim. And obviously the Muslims wanted no part of it. In fact, Wissam got in touch with someone in another country. They came and baptized him for the remission of his sins. And then a death warrant was put out on him from the very mosque where he had grown up. He eventually was able to come as a refugee, a political refugee to the United States. He ended up in Pennsylvania where one of our graduates named Doug Hamilton taught him the way of the Lord more perfectly and eventually sent him to Sunset where Wissam is studying right now to be a gospel preacher. And his goal is to take the precious gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel that he has given up everything for, to as many Muslims as will listen to the preaching of the gospel. One of his greatest goals is to eventually go back to Baghdad and plant the New Testament church in Baghdad, Iraq. You see, he found the treasure. It changed his life. And he gave up everything in order to have that treasure. The Apostle Paul would say it like this: we have this treasure, the treasure of the gospel, the treasure of a relationship with Christ. We have this treasure, but it's stored in jars of clay. Paul recognized that his greatness was not in himself, that his greatness was in giving his life to something greater. His greatness was in his relationship with his God, and he recognized in humility his powerlessness to do anything apart from God. And he knew that if he was going to accomplish something, it had to be by the power of God, not by his own strength. Armando Alanis is a man who died of cancer about 4 years ago. Armando was an amazing gospel preacher. Armando at one time was the director of our school of Spanish studies in Lubbock. And eventually he went to Miami, Florida and helped to establish a school there to train Cuban preachers eventually to go into Cuba. What he didn't understand and we didn't understand back in 2001 is that God had a better plan. We didn't think we could go to Cuba. We didn't think that we could be there. We didn't think that we could have a school of preaching in Cuba. So we started one in Miami, Florida. Someone told us, all you have to do is apply to the government of the United States and you can perhaps get a license to go to Cuba and teach and preach and train preachers. So Armando and others applied to the Treasury Department of the United States in 2001, September of 2001. And it arrived at the desk of the man who has the stamp of approval on 9/11/2001. And when those buildings were hit, we figured there is no chance now. Surely everything will shut down. A week later, the license came back from the Treasury Department, stamped, approved on 9/11/2001. You see, it's the power of God, folks. God can do things that we don't anticipate, that we don't expect. He can do greater things than we ever imagine. If we understand that the treasure is in jars of clay. So Armando and others would go to Cuba twice a year. And since 2001, they have been able to train over 100 gospel preachers in Cuba. And now in Cuba, there are over 140 congregations of the Lord's church. And God is doing amazing things because in weak vessels, jars of clay, there is a powerful and great treasure hidden. And I'm saying to all of you, no matter who you are, no matter where you live, no matter what you think your talents and your abilities are, you need to understand that you're just a jar of clay, but there is a great treasure hidden in you. And that treasure is the power of God. And if you trust Him, you put your faith in Him, you let Him work in your life, He can accomplish great things in this church and in your life, in this community. I love this quote out of the book of Hebrews. It's referring back to Moses and his time in Egypt and in Midian. It says he chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than all the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. It's important that we understand where our treasure is, that's where our heart is. This is all about priorities, folks. This is all about recognizing what the real treasure is and going after that real treasure. And sometimes that real treasure is heaven itself. You may not find this world's treasures here on earth, but there is an inheritance undefiled and uncorruptible waiting for all of us in heaven. And if we're looking ahead to that great treasure, then our hearts are going to be right and our priorities are going to be right while we live here on this earth. Gary Sainer was a student at Sunset back in 1974. When he graduated, he told Klein Payton, then the director of the school, "I want to go to the toughest mission field in the world where no one else is willing to go." He said, "I'm single. I can go there. I can do the hard work. And I just want to go where maybe others can't go." He chose Indonesia. And he chose the island of Nias as the place where he would go and serve. And he served there for years. Eventually, he married a young woman who, like him, had that tough missionary spirit. They were willing to give up the comfort of the United States. They were willing to give up the treasures of our culture in order to go and live in a village setting on the primitive island of Nias in Indonesia. As Gary was doing his work in Indonesia, he had planted 30 or 40 congregations on that island, many of them inaccessible to vehicles other than dugout canoes going down a snaky river. or a jungle trail that he had to trek for miles to get to some remote village. The doctor that examined him in Indonesia said, "You need to leave and you need to get to the United States. You have some heart issues going on. I don't know how to treat those. You need to get out of here. You need to go back to the States." Gary told his wife, Linda, "I can't leave until I go and confirm one more time these churches that we've worked for all of these years to plant." So he trekked through the jungle and he snaked down rivers one more time. But before he did that, he told his wife, Linda, "If I don't come back, don't take my body back to America. Bury me under a coconut tree on my beloved isle of Nidos." Gary didn't return from that trip. He died of a heart attack in some village in Nidos, in some mud hut where he had laid down for a few hours to rest. And his body remains there today, buried with the honors of many of the church leaders that he had trained as they gathered around a coconut tree on a hillside overlooking a beautiful bay on the island of Nidos. But you see, Gary was willing to give up the treasures of this earth for the real treasure of a relationship with eternal God and a reward in heaven. And Jesus said to a young man, "If you want to be complete, go and sell all of your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me." But when the young man heard this, unlike Gary Sayner, he went away sadly, for he owned much property. And what he didn't understand is he didn't own property, his property owned him. And that kept him from seeing the glory of the great treasure that God had in store for him. But there are others that have been able to look past their possessions and see the treasure as it really is. J. Don and Mary Lee Rogers were missionaries for 25 years in Canada. They had a beautiful, beautiful apartment, condo in Canada. They had a wonderful retirement program. The congregation that supported them in Canada was taking good care of them. Mary Lee had a great job selling real estate, and she was really good at it. And they'd established a nice congregation there in Delta, Canada, and everything was going great. And then J. Don was confronted with an opportunity to go to the former Soviet Union, to a little fledgling preaching school that was just getting started, that needed the experience of a man, a couple, that had already been there and had already accomplished something, that needed the experience of a preacher, a teacher, who could lead this school to train more and more gospel preachers. So this couple, who was just in the process of beginning to have grandchildren, gave up their nice situation in Delta, Canada, and they moved to a rather Spartan existence in Donetsk, Ukraine, where they have helped to build one of the greatest schools of preaching in all of Europe. And now Donetsk, because over 175 gospel preachers have been trained over the last years, is called kind of the Nashville of Europe. There are more congregations in and around Donetsk, Ukraine than in all of Europe combined. And it's strong because someone was willing to look at the treasure of doing God's work in spite of the sacrifice in order to accomplish a heart. You see, this couple signed up for a 5-year commitment. And then they signed up for another 5-year commitment after that, and then another one. They gave their heart to the Ukrainian people because they saw the treasure. And Jesus said to them, every scribe that has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like the head of a household. Now, this is kind of an interesting statement. And the head of that household brings forth out of his treasure things new and old. And in the kingdom of God, folks, we have a marvelous treasure that never gets old. There are some things in the kingdom of God that must not change, ever. We don't ever change the message. The message stays the same. We bring out those old things, the ancient message, the old paths, the ancient gospel that is still as new today as it ever has been. But we bring out of our treasures some new things also, because even though the message doesn't change, our methods do. And our delivery method of delivering that ancient gospel has to change to accommodate those out there that won't hear any other way. Recently, we had a man from Liberia, Africa, come to our offices at sunset. And he talked about the fact that he lived in a remote place in Africa. And he was working among village preachers who were way out in the bush, and they needed to be taught and they needed to have lessons in the Word of God. And he said they have no resources. They have no way to be trained. And in many of their villages, there's no electricity. They don't have computers. They don't have DVD players. And so we were able to discover this little gadget. It's a solar-powered audio player. And on a SD card in this little audio player, we've been able to put all 40 of our courses from Sunset. All 40 courses are contained in this thing, and over 300 hours of teaching in English, obviously. That's the language that they will use.
Moses called Genesis.
Chapter 1.
The Distinctive Nature of the Church by Ed Wharton. In 12 lessons, produced by Sunset International Bible Institute. Lesson 3.
The point I'm making is that sometimes out of our treasure, we have to bring out some new methods of delivering the old gospel, because some people need those new methods. So we bought some of these things, and And we started putting our courses on it. It took over a year. We had to hire people to put them in the right format and all of that. But we discovered that we could raise about $500 each for these, and that would include delivering them to villages in Africa that are so remote, that have no resources to buy anything like this. And so we take them to Africa and we give them to people in remote villages like Matthew or Maxwell Weah from Liberia. Maxwell wrote me a letter recently, and he said this: after we had given him seven of these units to distribute to some of the preachers in the villages where he was, he said, "I'm confused whom to give the one myself is using. Many preachers in local churches are coming to ask for the solar, as it's helping them study and read the Bible easier. I'm going to give mine to one preacher from very far away, about 2 days from Monrovia. Is there a way that we can few again?" Pardon the English. "Please let me know if that's possible." And what I'm saying is that there are people all over Africa in remote villages that just don't have the resources. They don't even have the electricity. They don't have access to things. And so we've been able to put about $3,000 worth of Sunset courses on this little gadget, and we're just giving it to these folks with the help of a lot of brethren here in the United States of America. Treasures, folks. And I want to tell you, when those African villagers get their hands on this thing, they treasure the gospel, the message that they're hearing as they share it with one another. One last thing, and then this lesson's yours. Jim Elliot in 1953 was about to take his family to Ecuador to do mission work among the savage tribes in the jungles of Ecuador. Tribes that had never been evangelized before, and tribes that were barbaric and believed that their job was to kill any outsiders that came in from the outside world. But Jim Elliot was determined to go and evangelize those tribes. People told him in the United States, as he would go around to raise funds to go to Ecuador, they would tell him, "Jim, you're foolish to take your family to such a dangerous place on such a dangerous mission. You should not do it. Why, you're liable to be killed. And what will your family do?" And his reply to those statements, those warnings, a statement that his wife Elizabeth later recorded in a book entitled Through Gates of Splendor, in which she described how that tribe killed her husband and three other missionaries as they were preaching the gospel to them. And as she described in that book how that the wives of those missionaries went back to that tribe and that they finally listened, and that whole tribe was evangelized and became members of the Lord's church. And she describes in that book, this was the reply that Jim gave every time someone warned him not to go. He said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." And that's what Jesus meant when he said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And folks, when you give your heart to God, you can't lose. Amen. You can't lose that bargain. And what I'm telling you is, be like some of these folks. Give your life for the right thing. Sign up for God's bargain. Give your heart to God. Treasure the right things. Put your priorities where they belong. And if you live your life that way, one of these days, heaven will be your home. May God richly bless us as we continue to serve. If you're not a child of God, this would be a perfect time for you to become a Christian, to give your life to Christ, to become a child of God, and let the treasure, the real treasure, begin to live in your heart and change your life. If you have some need that can be met by your response to the gospel, then we urge you to come as we stand and as we sing.
Ah.